Yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm going to start just by sharing. I don't get very many chances to talk about baseball, so I'm going to share very briefly about baseball, but it's going to get us headed in the right direction. So every professional baseball player, for them to be successful, they have to continue to develop, refine, and practice things like their batting stance. They have to continue to work on that. Every little thing for the batting stance, every little thing, every little detail is important. How they grip the bat, the position of the fingers on the bat, even the pressure points that they have on the bat, all make a difference. How they hold the bat in their hand, it's important. It makes a difference. How they actually, the position of their arms matters, the deportment of their torso, the way that their feet are spread apart. Every single detail matters, and they have to continue to work on it, develop it, practice it, and refine it. Proper position is vital to the success of a professional baseball player. Now, let's relate this to you and I, because we're not professional baseball players. Well, I am in my mind, but none of us are, really. But probably when we were growing up, we probably all heard this numerous times from our parents. How many times did your parents say, sit up straight? Or work on your posture. Don't slouch. So we learned at a very early age that our body language and our body positions do matter. In fact, your body language reveals to the rest of the world exactly what you are thinking and feeling internally. You don't realize it, but you are showing it and you are demonstrating it. And 60% of our communication, 60% of our communication is nonverbal. It has to do with our facial expressions, has to do with our body language. So what I want us to do today, I want us to consider what our body language and posture, what it says to the rest of the world about how we feel about Jesus Christ and our walk with Him. But I also want us to consider this. I also want us to think about the importance of our body posture and our body position before God. Because those things can have a positive effect on our intimacy with Him and His relationship. So I want us to think about those things, because those things do matter. Those things make a difference to us. And it's things that we don't think about and we don't consider and we don't apply. And sometimes we don't even consider, because sometimes thinking about those things makes us a little bit uncomfortable in ways as well. But these things are important to us. Now, I think we all realize, just by living the lives the way that we do. Well, let me just tell you this. So Israel, certainly they understood time and again, they understood the importance of position. This is what it says in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17. You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves. Position matters. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and O Jerusalem. And so it goes on. But I want you to see, for Israel, position does matter. And they realized there was power that came with their position. And proper position does matter. And I think most of us understand that our body language does influence the people that we are around. Because your body language reveals to them, whether you realize it or not, your body language reveals to them how you feel about them and what you think about them. And because of that, it can either draw them in or it can serve to push them away. For example, if I come up to you and as I'm walking towards you, if your body language leans back a little bit, or actually takes a step back, your body language is telling me you are not really interested in any interaction with me. Conversely, if when I'm walking towards you, you lean in or you take a step towards me, you are saying, I am looking forward to having an exchange with you. Even how we position ourselves, we can either be open to others or we can be closed off towards others. Body position reveals so much. Even in your eyes and your facial structure and things. You know, if you're looking, when you are looking at someone's eyes, you don't stop to think about it. But when you're looking at someone, you're telling them something. Because if you're wary of the person or uncomfortable with them, your eyes actually dilate. Now, when you're looking at that person, you're looking in their eyes. You don't consciously see it, But subconsciously, you're aware by their pupils dilating that they're saying, back off. I'm not really comfortable with this. Even our smiles. You know, we think that sometimes, I used to work at Yes FM, I work with a woman who always thought that she could just look at people and hide things, and they wouldn't know. And we'd always laugh because she would say, I think I pulled that off pretty well. I don't think, no, pretty much everyone in the room knew exactly what you were thinking. And smiles is a part of that. Sometimes we smile, but if it's a fake smile, and there's a fake smile and a genuine smile, here's how you can tell the difference. A fake smile just involves the mouth. But when you have a genuine smile, the entire face is involved. If you want to see a living example of this, he's not here today, but just find Ezekiel. When Ezekiel smiles, you smile at Ezekiel. When he smiles back at you, his whole face is involved in that smile. We tell people how we feel about them and what we want from them just by our body language. If I'm talking to you and you're going, it's suggesting that, you know, you're engaged, you're listening, you're involved in this. But if you're doing this, that means you're saying, I just want to get this done so I can move on and go on to somebody that I'm interested in talking to. So we're aware of some of these things, but we don't think about it. But we often think about the upper part of our body, but even your feet will tell people what you want to do. Because we don't realize it, but our feet point where we want to go. And so if I'm talking to someone, but my feet are pointing somewhere else, you're telling me I am looking forward to moving away from you to whatever that door over there is where I am headed as soon as I get an opportunity. So our body language does reveal a lot to people. It tells them how we feel about them and what we think about them. But body language also does something for us. Body language also reveals to us how we feel about the situation that we are in and what we believe in that situation. Again, we think we hide things, but we don't. What you believe, if you're in a difficult situation, guess what? Your body language is telling the rest of us what you believe. Your faith or your doubt is in full display for the world to see. Just think about sometimes when you see people praying for something. You can look at people and you can just tell by their body language that they're praying, but there's not a lot of confidence behind that prayer. It's more of a hope than it is a prayer. You can just tell by the way that they stand, by the way that their body language is suggesting what they really believe in here. So this is what the Bible tells us. This will make sense in a second. Luke chapter 6, verse number 45. A good man out of the good treasure in his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. This is basically saying that what is inside of you is going to come out.
That's right.
Well, listen, in like fashion, what's in here, your body is going to reveal what you think and what you feel. It's going to be revealed. If you feel like you are powerful, your body is going to react in a demonstrative way because of that. Think about people that win some kind of competitive sport. Or here's a really good picture. Just think about every single person you've seen win a race. As soon as they break that tape, what do? Hands are up, spread wide apart, chin is lifted up. They are feeling empowered and their body is demonstrating it. Now, on the other side of the coin, if you feel powerless in a situation, your body reacts in the exact opposite way. We tend to close ourselves off. We make ourselves as small as we possibly can. Sometimes, in extreme conditions, we actually curl ourselves up into a ball. It says that we feel powerless. I was with a person about a week ago. I haven't seen him in a couple of years. But he had a fall in his life, and he knew that I knew that. And so when I saw him, and neither one of us were expecting to see each other, I could see by his body language there was an uncertainty in what my reaction was going to be. And so I took steps toward him and extended my hand towards him. And then he responded by taking the step towards me. He came out, and then he was speaking to me for just a couple of minutes, but I could tell that there was still just uncertainty. And so I just started up some innocuous conversation about something. And once he saw that I was open to him and he sensed that, I started to move on and he actually followed me. And he followed me for a few steps, and then when I stopped, we started talking. And he brought up Jesus Christ. He brought up the things of Jesus. And so as we're talking about Jesus, and this is why these things are key, as we're talking about Jesus, and then other people started to come around, so we're talking about Jesus, and as he's talking about Jesus, he actually backed up and actually put himself against a wall. And as he talked about Jesus, he got smaller and smaller. But as he was asking questions and I was answering, have you ever felt this way? I could just feel myself enlarging. I mean, I'm smaller than all of those people who were there except for one, but I felt like in my mind, I felt like I was looking, not that I'm looking down on them, but I felt like I was large, tall in Jesus. So here's the difference. It's not about me. It's just I felt I have Jesus. You have Jesus in you. There is an empowerment in Jesus. And when I was talking about Jesus, I was excited. I'm excited about sharing the word and sharing the truth. And so we get enlarged. He was at a place where he's still not certain himself, but he's hungry for it and he needs it. And even though you don't know who that person is, I would ask you to just pray that there's an opportunity for Donna and I to help that individual come to a place. But our body language just reveals so much to us. Our nonverbals, they clearly affect other people. Other people respond to your nonverbal cues. We understand that. What we sometimes don't understand or even think about is our nonverbal cues, our body language, our body posture, our body position. It can actually have an influence on the effectiveness of your daily walk with Christ. It can. Because, think about this, your nonverbals, they have an influence on how you think and how you feel. It has an influence on your thoughts and on your emotions. There's a social psychologist, and she understands, she's not coming from a Christian standpoint, but she understands that our nonverbals govern how people feel about us and what they think about us because they're reading your nonverbals. And so it governs how your nonverbals govern how they feel and think about you. She posed this question. Can our nonverbals then also govern how we think and how we feel about ourselves? Because if you think about it, we know and understand our minds have an effect on our bodies. What I'm thinking and what I'm feeling will be exemplified by my body. My mind can affect changes in my body. So the question is, can our bodies, posture, position, can our bodies affect change in the way our minds think? So she had that question, and she conducted an experiment. And in that experiment, the experiment was people would come into a job interview situation. But for each of the candidates that came in, before the interview, before they actually walked in to conduct the interview, they went into the bathroom and they spent two minutes assuming one of two poses. They either assumed a power pose, which she called, and she had them stand like this, like Superman, or here's a really effective power pose. She had them just stand like this for 2 minutes. Or they assumed a submissive pose, where for 2 minutes they would just stand like this, or like this for 2 minutes. She found that almost universally, the hiring people chose the individuals who had spent the past 2 minutes standing in the bathroom assuming a power pose. So simply standing in a power position for 2 minutes changed the way each of those candidates thought about themselves and how they viewed themselves. And it was evident to others how they felt about themselves. So those decision makers, they actually said they chose the individuals that they did because of their presence. And they said this. This is an actual quote from one of the people that made some final comments. They actually said that those were the individuals that revealed themselves and had no residue around them or influencing them. Isn't that an unusual thing to say? Yeah. Well, I thought about that. I made applications of the word. Remember that because we're going to come back to that. That's a fascinating statement. No residue around them or no residue influencing them. So clearly, for those candidates, the power position or the power pose made a difference. Now, God has created us, spirit, soul, and body. Our bodies have a part to play in our lives serving Jesus in this fallen world. And the position of our bodies, our body posture and our body position, can also influence how you feel about every situation and every circumstance that you are in. It affects how and what you believe. We can know the word, but what is it that we believe? Our position can help us. It can bring us to that place of being able to believe what the word of God says. And it's going to be evident to others that we believe it. So think about this. If I'm praying for myself in a situation that I have, or if I'm praying for someone else, what does that look like? Because if it looks like this, it's probably saying I'm operating without a great deal of confidence or assurance. But when I'm praying for someone else, if it looks like this, that's saying that I have a certainty of the power of Jesus Christ, and I am certain that the power of Jesus Christ is moving through me to do great things for His glory. So, how much can just a simple change in our body position, in our body posture, how much can that change my own confidence when I'm praying? And even more important, how does my body position, my body posture, my body language, how can that affect and help strengthen the faith of the people that I'm praying for? Yeah. To position them so that they can believe and they can receive. Right. Now, I'm not talking about faking it. I'm not saying that we fake it. I'm saying that we need to allow our bodies, which God created, we need to allow our bodies to influence and even alter our thinking, which will then aid us in releasing our own faith. Amen. When we stand and when we pray, be it for ourselves or be it for others. Everybody with me?
Yes, sir.
All right, so this is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible tells us. The Lord, Jesus Himself, said to Paul, "Rise up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I have yet revealed to you." I can tell you from personal experience, it doesn't seem like it makes any sense. I don't have to do this with you guys because I'm comfortable with you guys, but I've been in positions where I know I have to speak and I'm in front of a lot of people, and I'm not as confident. And so I'll do the exact same thing. I don't usually get 2 minutes, but I will spend just a few minutes just doing this, just exalting Jesus, focusing on Him, opening myself up to Him. And I promise you, it makes a difference in how you present yourself, because it affects what we think and what we believe. It helps turn our minds away from the things of the world, and it turns our mind towards Jesus Christ. We are comprised of spirit, soul, and body. All three of those things make up the creation of you.
Amen.
And all three of those things are vitally important to your interaction with God, to your worship of God, and to how we live our everyday life experiences. I've taught this time and time again, but you're going to hear it again. So I've taught that our soul, our mind, our thoughts, our personality, our will, the unique and eternal creation of you, I've taught that our soul is what determines the direction of flow through us. So if my soul is open to the Holy Spirit that is in my spirit, then I allow the things of the Spirit to flow through me, to flow through my soul, and it affects my body, and it affects external things, because this body is what keeps me connected to the natural world. So this is how I can bring the things, or how He can use me, how He can use you, to bring the greater realities of the spiritual realm to displace the lesser realities of the natural realm. Right? Make sense?
Yes.
Conversely, if my soul is focused on the carnal, if my soul is focused on the things of the world, then my soul has closed the door to the Holy Spirit in my spirit. Then I'm only filled with the world. And then I'm only going to get the world's results in my life. Not very satisfactory. So the question then becomes, how do I get my soul to open up the door so that I can allow the Holy Spirit and the things of the Spirit to flow through me to glorify Him? How do I do that? We've talked about this in the past, but for our purposes today, part of, this is not all-encompassing, but part of the answer is, get your body position right, and that will alter. It will have an effect. It will influence what you think, what you feel. It will influence your soul. Because the mind that is focused on praise is filled with faith. And that is the soul that will open up the door and allow the things of the Holy Spirit to flow in that direction, that Holy Spirit flow direction through us and change the world around us because the Spirit is flowing through us. Position matters. Position affects results. Our position, as we'll see in a few moments, affects results. This is what it says in Psalm 95, verse number 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Proper position has a powerful impact upon you. Because proper position, it turns your mind away from the things of the world and to Jesus Christ. And when my mind is on Jesus Christ and not on the world, all of a sudden it's no longer about me. Now it's about Him. And when it's not about me and it's about Him, that's when I can pray for people with faith and confidence. That's when I can speak the word boldly and with assurance. That's when I can change the world around me because it is the Holy Spirit moving through me to bring about those changes. Such a powerful opportunity that we have. And when you think about those things, thinking about it that way, that gives us a whole nother depth of understanding of this word that Paul spoke to us in Romans chapter 12. This is what it says, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, we certainly understand the prominent level of understanding, the implications of what that means. But what I'm suggesting to you is, if we consider our body position, there's a deeper meaning that we have here. How am I presenting my body to the Lord when I come to Him? How are you presenting your body to the Lord when you come to Him? Does my body position suggest that I'm open? Does my body position suggest that I am offering my life in service to Him and in obedience to Him? Or does my body position suggest to Him that I'm closed off, that I'm uncertain? Does my body position suggest this is more ritual than it is relationship? We rarely, if ever, stop to consider our position before the Lord. We hardly ever stop to think about it. And yet, our spirit is always ready. Our minds, those are a little bit more uncertain. But just spending, think about this, just spending a few minutes with hands lifted high in the air or knees bent down before Him, just a few minutes like this can help to transform our minds, can transform our minds away from a carnal state into one that is brimming with faith and assurance and the knowledge that the Holy Spirit gives us. It's important to see the things that are before us and how we do. And some of these things that we just don't even think about or consider, they do matter and it makes a difference for us. Let's go back and think about that experiment again. That experiment with the individuals who were going through the job interview situation. The decision makers had said that they chose who they chose because of their presence and because they revealed themselves and there was no residue around them or over them or influencing them. You and I, we are just stewards of these bodies. We are just stewards of these bodies. And so it's reasonable for us to present our bodies to Him and in service to Him. To present our bodies in a position, in a posture of reverent worship and praise, then helps us remove the residue of the world and the world's influence on our thinking and on what goes on in our minds. It'll help remove, so you're not influenced by that residue of the world. It removes it. It washes it all out of the way. It brings us to a place where we can remove doubt, fear, discouragement. It takes us from a place of just praying to a place of praying and believing. And that's a key difference. This is what it says in Mark. This is Mark chapter 11, verse number 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. We can't just pray. We have to pray believing. And our body posture, our body positions, it will help position us so that we can not just pray, but believe. Because our body position affects what we think, our emotions, and what we feel. This is important for us. These are important things for us to think about, because how much would it help you believe when you pray? How much would it help you believe when you pray if you are praying with your hands raised up high in the air? We engage the spirit and we engage the soul. We need to make sure we engage the body, because we are spirit, soul, and body. It does matter. So just in your own private time, just between you and God, do things that you haven't done before. Raise up your hands. Open yourself up wide. Lift up your head. Get down on your knees, whatever it is. If you've never done it before, just try it. It's kind of hard, too, I know. But think about this. If you want to go a little bit deeper into this, consider this challenging question. In your own private time, in your own time of worship, your own time of prayer with God, have you ever presented yourself before the Lord with your face on the floor? Because I think most of us would say no. And it's understandable, because it's not something that we talk about. Because it's not something that in our culture we're comfortable with. It's not something we talk about, and it's not something that is taught either. But it is talked about abundantly in the Bible. That's right. And it is demonstrated abundantly in the Bible. I just did a cursory search. I found 150 examples of people bowing their face before the Lord. That means there is some spiritual vitality that takes place when we are in a certain position or posture, because it's yielding, your body is yielding who you are to Him. If we require or we desire more intimacy with God, spirit, soul, and body, we have to be fully engaged in all these things. And I know it's uncomfortable, because it's an uncommon thing. And I know sometimes it feels like, well, it's not really necessary, because it seems like just one of those things that is an old covenant kind of a thing. And the pride of the flesh, the pride of the flesh says, don't do it. You're going to feel silly. Come on, Pastor. And I will tell you what, the first time I did it, I was all by myself. I felt silly. That's right. But I'll also tell you, I learned position matters to my heart. And it positioned me well. So we need to think about these things and consider these things. And then get our mind and get Todd out of the way. Yield. Because for as long as I'm on this earth, I want to continue to strive for that deeper intimacy with Jesus. You know, in the Bible, when we read about people being intimate with Jesus, time and again, when there's intimacy with God, people are falling on their faces. Time and again, we see this. In the book of Nehemiah, when Ezra opens up the word of God and he speaks it in the hearing of the people, the Bible says the people fell on their faces. So in Nehemiah, Ezra's already opened up the word. He started to read. This is what it says. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, "Amen, amen," while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. I tell you guys time and time again, put yourself in that position. So just think about this. There's a great time of adulation. These people have been returning after 70 years of exile. They've made their return back into Jerusalem. They've already started to rebuild the temple. Now Nehemiah has come and he's rebuilt the wall. Everything is in place for them to begin to start worship once again. And now they have the word of God brought back out. And there is a joy. Picture if you were there. If you knew that your parents and your grandparents had been in exile, but you get the honor of being back to Jerusalem again, where you can once again start to have worship. You can start to have service and worship with God himself. And now you have this opportunity when all the things. Nehemiah has completed the wall. Everything is in place. Now Nehemiah and Ezra have people standing up on the walls on two sides, and one would sing, then the other would respond, and back and forth. There's a joy that is taking place, and you're standing there, and you're participating in that. And because of that, by that verse, this is what I picture. I see all that, and I picture, this is what it says, and this is what I see happening. It started, look at how it says it. The people answered, "Amen and amen." They're responding. And then it says, they lifted up their hands. And then in this great joy of the moment, as it continues to unfold, that's not even enough. Now they go down and they bow to their knees. And then that's not even enough. And because of the affinity that they feel, the affinity that they have, because they are getting that closeness, the intimacy with God, they bow down with their faces to the ground. It is a step-by-step thing that you can see unfolding. When you have that close affection, when you have that close affinity, when you have that intimacy with God, this is just a natural response. And it further opens up the door for a deeper intimacy with Him. And that's what He wants from all of us. I got way off course on there, so I got to figure out where I was going with this. So this is the example, this verse I just read, this is the example that God gave us, and He gave us this example to encourage us to have that deeper intimacy with Him. He gave it to us so that we would strive for that deeper intimacy with Him, because this is what He wants to have with you. He desires for us to feel these things. And if we read the Word and really consider what we're reading, we should follow the examples that we see there, and then we will find that deeper closeness. There's so many of us that say, well, I want more from Christ. There's so many people that I've heard say things like, how do I get that closeness, that biblical closeness with Jesus today? Well, in part, the answer is position yourself for intimacy. Position yourself for it. So again, I'll challenge you with this. In your own private time, in your own quiet time, there's no one else around. Even though your body, your flesh tells you, the pride of your flesh says, you're going to feel silly. In your own quiet time, just try it. Just lay down before the Lord with your face to the ground and just pray and seek Him. Now is the time when those who will shall draw nearer to me. You may have heard that before because I've told you that probably three times. Holy Spirit spoke that to me in a dream. And I wrote it down and I've repeated it. Now is the time for those who will. If you will determine with your will to seek after Him, now is the time for those who will to draw nearer to Him. Now's the opportunity. Holy Spirit is saying, if you want a closer relationship with me, now is the time. Unlike ever before, now is the time. Now's the time. But the choice, it's ours. So the Macmillan Dictionary describes posture this way. Macmillan Dictionary says, posture is the position of your body when you're sitting, standing, or walking. As soon as I saw that, because I looked up posture in several different dictionaries, as soon as I saw that, I said, that is amazing. Because that sounds just like the first words that are spoken to us in the book of Psalms. Psalm 1, chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful. Walk, sit, stand. Our posture and our position do matter. They're not the key thing. Our heart is the key thing. But our posture positions us for intimacy with Jesus. And this is what he desires from us. And he's showing us, he's inviting you, he's showing us the ways that we can draw near to him so that we're not standing, sitting, or walking in the ways of the world. In fact, those three positions that it mentions there in Psalm number one, they're all associated, you know, negatively with the world. But those three positions are also spoken in 2 Chronicles. And in 2 Chronicles, it talks about it as turning away from the things of the world and turning towards intimacy with God. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 12 and 14. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, spread out his hands. For Solomon had made a bronze platform, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, 3 cubits high, and had set it in the middle of the court. And he stood on it, knelt down on his knees before the assembly of Israel, spread out his hands towards heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there's no God in heaven or on earth like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. Now we see that the power of all this comes, 2 verses later, we see that the power comes from Jesus sitting on the throne. Walk, stand, walk, and also sit. So this is just a couple of verses later. Verse number 16, therefore, Lord God of Israel, now keep what you promised your servant David my father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel. Only if your sons take heed to their way, that they walk in my law as you have walked before me. And then Solomon, he goes beyond just those three positions that were mentioned. He also just tells us about lifting up our hands and bending our knees. Solomon is giving us instructions. He's showing us how we can position ourselves for that intimacy with God. Amen. Now, our body language, we've seen that it reveals what's in our heart. But if we establish correct position with our bodies, correct posture and position with our bodies, it also has an effect on our intimacy. It can turn our hearts towards a deeper intimacy with Jesus Christ. And the end result of that, the end result of you positioning yourself for that deeper intimacy, the end result of that is demonstrated through the same chapter I just looked at. You have to go to the end of the chapter. In the very next chapter, verse number 1 of chapter 7, this is what it says as Solomon, he just spoke all that he just read to you. Now he says this as he dedicates the temple to God. 2 Chronicles 7:1. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. If we will make ourselves, if we will make the effort to position ourselves in a place of intimacy, if we will make the effort to position ourselves for intimacy with Christ, we will find that these temples will be filled with the burning fire of the Holy Spirit, and we will become impassioned vessels that he uses for us every day until he returns or he takes us home, impassioned vessels serving him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you and praise you. Your word has so much to reveal to us, and it's clearly your desire for us to find the ways past this flesh, so that we can find the intimacy with you, the intimacy that you choose to have with us, and the intimacy that we desire at the very core of our DNA. We desire that intimacy with you. And you take such great care to show us how to get there. We hear and read your word. We listen. We respond. Show us how. Give us the courage and the strength to do even beyond what I've said, to just listen to you as you tell us how to position ourselves before you to have that deeper intimacy with you. This is your desire, and it is our desire, and we thank you and praise you for it. In your name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's stand up and close with a song of praise and worship as we just worship him for his greatness and his love for us.